This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It's hot and it's dry, and that's not new for South Texas. But what is new is that it is going to remain hotter for longer. July was the hottest month on record for the world. San Antonio saw temperatures up to 102 degrees. Extreme temperatures and dry weather conditions led the fire marshal's office to a call for extra precautions and a burn ban for Bexar County that was put in place on August 21st. What does it mean that we're having a burn ban? And what does it mean for the community that we're having these hot temperatures for longer? How can we look out for each other in these hotter days? We're joined this afternoon by Chris Lopez. He's the Bexar County Fire Marshal, and Scott Paul is with the Emergency Management Coordinator for the Bexar County's Office of Emergency Management. And welcome both y'all to The Source today. We can talk about that. And our phone lines are open. It's 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the burn ban and these heat days, heat safety, 210-614-8980. So Chris Lopez, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here. What does it mean that we're having a burn ban?
So whenever we have drought conditions that exist for an extended period of time, the drought index gets above 525. The KBDI is what we call it. It's the Keach-Byram Drought Index. It is monitored by the Texas A&M Forest Service, and every county in the state, their fuel load is reported back. And when it gets above 525, the legislature has given us the authority as a county to enact a burn ban.
And today it's at 651.
That is correct, yes, sir.
So is that high?
That is high, yes, sir. What that means is that all of the wonderful rainfall that we had in the beginning of the year and the end of last year created what we call ground fuels. You don't, just like your yard, you have to mow it very often. When those ground fuels...
I'm supposed to mow it.
right. That's me too sometimes. But I keep it short around my house. I live in the country, so definitely you got to make sure you got an area around it where it is safe.
Yeah, so this is the time of year when your lawn gets crunchy.
It does.
And so we have to be aware that... So does a burn ban mean that you can't burn anything, or you have to just follow certain rules?
It means that you have to follow certain rules, absolutely.
And what are those rules?
So if you have an area where you do not have trash service provided, there are still some areas in unincorporated Bexar County where your rural trash service isn't available. You can still have a burn barrel. And,
so people burn their trash.
They can burn their household trash, yes, absolutely. Folks can also, if for agriculture purposes, they can burn with a burn permit. You know, we send our inspection staff out to ensure that it is safe to do so and ask the local ESD fire departments if they would be on standby for those areas.
So if I'm going to go camping, I can still have a campfire?
You can. You can. Cooking is another. If you're going to
grilling,
go grill. Yeah, absolutely. You can do that. We do get those questions quite often. You know, can I still, cook a cabrito or a barbacoa in my pit? And the answer is yes.
I'd be like, yes.
Invite me. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. But yeah, no, I do get those questions often. And the answer is yes. You can still utilize it for cooking and heating.
But you're telling people, go ahead and do it, but be extra careful.
You have to. Yes, absolutely. You have to be safe. And what we suggest, if you look at the Bexar County Fire Marshal's Office website daily, we have burn recommendations, and we will tell folks whether or not it's even safe to burn their household trash. If it's not, if the winds are going to get up above about 10 miles an hour, we'll let them know. For agriculture burns or any of those permits will not be allowed.
So how bad can it get if we get a fire right now? We're not having, what do you call them, red flag days? Or those are when we have high winds?
Correct, yes.
So we have to pay attention to when that's being out there?
Yes. When folks do call in to our dispatch, they ask the question, can we burn today? Again, if they're not paying attention to what's on the website, then our dispatchers or our staff will let the folks know that, look, you can burn your household trash, recommended in a 55-gallon drum with a screen, mesh screen over the top of it. And that's to suppress the embers and sparks from coming out of the can itself. And the danger that you run into is that if you have an ember that lands in small fuels, that it will spread rapidly, especially with winds.
Right. So when we have the red flag days, that's the right term, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's when you're telling people don't burn because the winds are so high that those embers could go further. Absolutely. And then the winds will also drive the drive those fires a lot faster.
Absolutely. The headwind, and actually the head of a fire in wildland situations, a fire can create its own wind and push wind speeds are up at the front or at the head of a fire, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour sometimes. And you're trying to get a fire department to respond and get ahead of that. And that's tough to do sometimes. It gets away from them rapidly.
All right. So when you right now with the burn ban in place with this Keech, the KBDI, at such high level right now, do you have volunteer fire departments and a regular fire department? Are they all on standby? How does that work?
So, yes. So we actually, we don't have volunteer departments in the unincorporated areas of Bexar County any longer. All of the departments have become emergency service districts. So those folks are actually now fully staffed, paid, fire departments, just like you would find in the city of San Antonio.
Fully professional, trained, staffed, equipped.
Yes, sir.
And but they keep an eye on all this stuff, and
yes,
they're
they
on
do.
Standby.
They yes,
know
sir.
That to deal with all this. And so let me ask about with the heat. That is a community emergency. And Scott Paul with the Bexar County Office of Emergency Management. What are y'all monitoring to make sure that things are going good?
Well, we're looking at the temperature, we're looking at humidity levels, we're looking at it as a combination of those two, and we get something called a heat index, which is really a true indicator on your skin of what the temperature's like. It's a combination of both the humidity level and the temperature, and you've seen it on the news when you look at weather. They'll give you the air temperature, and they'll give you something called a heat index. When those indexes get high enough, we go into different weather, heat warnings, and other actions that take place. There are different levels of alerts. Every day to day, we're at kind of a level 4, which is, for most of South Texas, is what we have, 90s and 100-degree temperatures, but not excessive humidity. We get days like we've had the last 20 days or 30 days where we've had 100-degree temperatures and high humidity, and you get heat indexes that are high. Then we start looking at some of those higher elevated weather warnings that we put out to the public on being prepared for heat. So far this year, though, we've never had to go to a level 1 alert, which is the highest level, and that's where the air temperature is pretty excessive. The outside heat index reaches 113 degrees. Now, here in San Antonio, we haven't had that, but in Carrizo Springs and other areas of South Texas, we have reached that level.
Yeah, Laredo.
Laredo.
Yeah, they have that. I've lived through that. And that's when parts of your car start to melt off. You know, that's not a good thing. But so we're talking about people and taking care of people. We have vulnerable communities here in San Antonio. We have people who have to work outside and people who may not have air conditioning. They have to cope with all this. When it gets really, really hot, we open up, I believe, cooling centers and ask people to check on each other. And you may not be sometimes the best monitor of where you are with dealing with the heat. So we're going to talk about all of that when we come back from this break. Our phone line is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you got a question about burn bans, concerns about fires right now that it's super hot, super dry, also about how we can help our community deal with these long stretches of these heat waves, the number again is 210-614-8980. The source continues after a 1-minute break. Stay tuned.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the burn ban and heat safety right now. This is really a critical time. We're joined by the fire marshal and the Office of the Emergency Management. So Chris Lopez, our Bexar County Fire Marshal, when people how much people don't really think about the potential for a fire until, you know, if you put a little more forethought into how to prepare for it, can you really stave off a disaster?
Yes, the answer is yes. We typically recommend in people's homes, as an example, make sure that you have a fire extinguisher that is capable of extinguishing.
How long would a fire extinguisher stay good?
The recommended is at least having them checked annually. But, I mean, it could last, you know, 5-6 years without having to be replaced. But what ends up happening is what's inside of it will, over time, kind of pack down to the bottom of the extinguisher. And, you can kind of mix it and put it back in place if it's a dry chem extinguisher. But, I would recommend that every 5 years at least replace those extinguishers. But, you know, they're still good. They're still usable. But I would recommend for sure at least once a year have it checked and replace it after about five. And, I mean, it may last longer than that, but just to be safe.
Well, it's not a big investment, you know.
It's not. No, absolutely not. I mean, if you look at your vehicle, I mean, you absolutely will change your oil. You absolutely will do those things to maintain that. And a fire extinguisher, when you look at the investment you made in your home, is minimal.
Right. So what else could I be doing to protect my house?
Make sure that if you cannot afford an alarm system, you can have local smoke alarms in your rooms, outside of the bedrooms, in the hallways, the common areas. If you can afford to have them in each room, even better. If you have natural gas or any type of LPG fuels, it's important. You could have a carbon monoxide detector as well, but to have those types of those detectors within a home is really important. I know there are homes that have monitored systems that, and I won't mention any of the companies, but you know, somewhere they're monitoring that. If you can't afford that local alarm has saved so many people in years past by just that loud noise that it makes whenever there's a fire and the smoke hits it, and that's important.
210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you've got a question about the fire marshal's job here in Bexar County. When I go to a venue and I see a sign that says, you know, 200 people or whatever, what does that mean?
So that's the occupant load for that building, for that venue. When our code enforcement and inspection folks go out and they do those fire safety inspections, they will measure the floor space and the type of occupancy that they're in, and they will let that owner know that for this type of occupancy, whatever it is, if it's an assembly occupancy, there is a formula that they will figure that formula for the square footage and let the folks know, okay, your occupant load is this only, so you can't go over this. If you do, you're actually violating the fire code.
And is that based also on, like, where exits are? And 'cause
all of that comes into play as well, yes. Yes,
right. Sir. So with our heat situation, the temperatures, where they are, Scott Paul, who's the Emergency Management Coordinator for the Bexar County Office of Emergency Management, do we see an increase in EMS or emergency rooms? How does the when the mercury gets really high, how does that impact overall health?
Well, fortunately, we have a pretty sophisticated medical monitoring system with the hospital systems here in San Antonio. And when we start getting increases in heat-related illnesses, that information goes to our metropolitan health community. And then we start looking at how we can start preventing some of those ambulance calls and some of those hospital visits by taking other kinds of actions in the community. So it's a pretty sophisticated system. With our temperatures the way they've been so far, they haven't really reached the high point yet where we've had a large number of increased ambulance calls or a large number of hospital visits for those kinds of heat-related illnesses. So we're pretty fortunate. But if it gets to that extreme level, yeah, we're going to see a dramatic increase in people who are dizzy, vomiting, going unconscious. They're basically in heat stroke or heat exhaustion. And those kinds of calls will increase if we get an extended period of time with really high heat and humidity.
So what's really high? Because we had 102.
Yeah, so when we get an outside air temperature of 105 or a heat index of 113, that's really where we're going to start seeing it. Now, you can get it at temperatures less than that as well, especially among some of our more vulnerable population. You mentioned that earlier. Some of our vulnerable populations are infants and young children or people 65 and older because they really don't have a very sophisticated way of monitoring and managing their body core temperature. They're either not young enough and they have a lot more surface area affected by that temperature, or they're old enough now that their system is not regulating temperature very well for them. And you notice this with older people who say they're cold even when it's hot, or say it's hot even when it's cold. They can't regulate it. People who are overweight also have a challenge with high heat, as well as people who overexert themselves or work or exercise in the high heat. So you really want to try to minimize your exposure to that high heat as much as possible, so you're not, especially if you're in one of these at-risk categories, so that you're not putting yourself at risk.
Do people really acclimate to these higher temperatures, or is this that they die off if they don't? I mean, how does that work?
Well, for the vast range of Americans who are in the normal category, not the ones at the either end, for most of us, we can adapt to our environment. But some of that adaptation is adjusting for when and where we exercise, picking the low temperature parts of the day, hydrating really well so that we have enough moisture in our system. So when we're hit with that high heat, we have excess moisture to kind of give up and trade for that cooling.
So how do we accommodate the vulnerable population that you mentioned, particularly 65 and older? It's a lot of folks. And if they're having trouble monitoring themselves, how do we compensate for that?
Yeah, that's where we really start talking about community involvement. What can the community do? That's where we're relying on family members to look out for their elder population, or for neighbors to look for single elderly folks and check on them and see how well they're doing. And you might want to do that check a couple of times a day, especially in the high heat times of the day, after 12 o'clock and before 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Some of the things that we can do for that population is make sure there are places for them to go if they don't have air conditioning in their homes, for example. So those are the public spaces that are normally available to us that are air conditioned. And those are things like libraries and malls, shopping centers. I would even consider the public bus, because it's air conditioned, a place you could go sit and just take a ride and cool off.
And so what are the warning signs that people should be paying attention to? I know that your body has a regulatory system. Sweating is supposed to help cool off the body, but if humidity gets too high, that doesn't work too well. How do we identify?
Yeah, that's really our best control of our heat, is the evaporative cooling we get up from sweating. And when that doesn't work because of the high humidity levels, that's where we start getting into some of this risky temperature time frames. So what we're really looking for in terms of signs are heavy sweating, muscle pain or spasms. That's early onset, and that's something you might call a heat cramp, where you're outside exercising or doing some activity and you're not feeling that well. It can progress pretty quickly to where you have you're not sweating anymore, you're dry. And instead of cool and clammy, you're now hot and dry skin. You've lost all the moisture in your body, and now you're at severe risk for higher temperatures. And basically, as it progresses, you'll get nausea, vomiting,
headache,
loss of consciousness is the last one. That is a severe emergency. 911 needs to be called when that happens. Anybody who goes unconscious, call 911.
So, Chris Lopez, Bexar County Fire Marshal, you and your staff, y'all are peace officers, right? Y'all can arrest folk.
Yes.
So how does that work?
So if you look at the statute, arson is every arson is a felony. And a lot of folks, because I get that question quite often, actually. Why do fire marshals carry guns? Why are y'all peace officers? It's because we have several different divisions within our department. We are a law enforcement agency. Most people kind of view the fire marshals as part of a fire department. And for the county, we're actually a division of the county as a law enforcement agency. I'm actually, in my position, I'm the only appointed law enforcement official that works for the county. Everybody else are elected. And we have a division that goes out and they do nothing but fire and arson investigation. And those guys regularly, matter of fact, they arrested someone yesterday for arson.
Oh, yeah? What was that about?
It was just a domestic situation that got out of hand, and one half of that decided to set the house on fire.
Mm. And but the authority to arrest, detain people, that's helpful when you're trying to enforce all of these burn ban rules.
So yes, our folks do have the authority to issue citations for burn ban rules. If someone causes a fire and they do burn a structure, they even if it was reckless or accidental, they could be charged with arson. So yes, sir, that's accurate.
How long does a burn ban stay in effect? Does it just keep going? It has to be re-upped?
So in 90 days, if we are still in these same conditions that we have or worse, then I will make the recommendation to the commissioner's court that we renew the burn ban.
And then, so it's up to the commissioner's court, and they look at all the factors that are being considered. And Scott Paul with the Bexar County Office of Emergency Management, who makes the call that we are in a heat emergency?
That's going to be the Metropolitan Health District. So it's our Metro Health Coordinator will make that call. And it's going to be based on several things: the temperature, humidity level, and indicators from hospitals that we're having an increased level of heat-related injuries coming into the emergency rooms or through ambulances.
But we have not reached that.
We have not reached level one heat emergency in San Antonio this year.
But are we sort of like in the preliminary stages? We're taking steps to monitor all of these factors.
Yeah, it's always being monitored. And currently what we have are cooling stations that are open, but they're open only during normal business hours. So we're not keeping any place open later. But as the heat emergency rises, we will open cooling places and keep places open longer.
And have we seen, a lot of concern about rising temperatures with climate change? Is there long-term planning or discussions about, like, what does this mean for San Antonio 5-10 years down the road? I mean, the trend is we're going to have hotter days. They're going to last longer and over a wider geographic area.
Yeah, I think there's going to have to be some political emphasis here to get any significant changes in, for example, like building codes that increases the amount of insulation in a house to give you better cooling and things like that. In terms of what we're currently doing from a government standpoint, I think we're doing what we can do, which is by having this monitoring process in place, by educating the public, by informing the public of what they can do to take care of themselves.
Right. And we got a question from Twitter about outside activities for schools being regulated, like sports and banned. Who has authority over that?
Yeah, those are the school district decisions, and they're going to make those decisions, again, based on heat, humidity, activity level. And I know there are already programs in place. I have kids in high school, they're graduated now, but when they were in high school, there were outside activities in the afternoon that were restricted because of excessive heat.
You know, rightly so, are concerned about the football players, but the band members are out in the parking lot for hours.
Yeah, my daughter was in the band, and that's exactly right. Fortunately, they're very good at the hydration part of that. I mean, they've got water stands everywhere. They're making them take force breaks.
But skincare, too.
Well, and, that's the other part of this. No one talks about the UVA, UVB exposure in these high heat days, and that's a really big issue. You can get serious skin damage very quickly, in less than 10 minutes in some cases, if you're out in the hottest part of the day. So that's, again, another long-term health issue that needs to be considered. If this is going to be a continuing long-term issue with expanded heat advisory days in the future, then that skincare is going to be a big issue.
And Chris Lopez, Bexar County Fire Marshal, any last words people need to know?
Well, I just recommend that if you're going to burn, please do it responsibly. Always have some type of water supply. And if something gets out of hand, as quickly as you can, call 911, get that help en route.
So have a bucket of water ready to go in case something doesn't work out right.
That or a garden hose, yes, sir.
All right, well, I want to thank both of our guests, Chris Lopez, Bexar County Fire Marshal, Scott Paul, Emergency Management Coordinator for the Bexar County Office of Emergency Management. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.